Hello, welcome to the debate. I'm Kovit Tagway. 2 days after the UN envoy to Syria meets officials from Russia, Turkey, and Iran, he's invited the U.S. and six other countries for talks in Geneva for next month. Now, this is while there are reports that there will be a major operation in Idlib, the last bastion of the terrorists in Syria. In this debate, we will look at what this operation may entail. As speculation grows, that Damascus is planning a Russian-backed offensive against the terrorists. First, our correspondent from Damascus, Mohammed Ali, joins us now to tell us what may be in preparation here. Well, Mohammed, we've heard about the offensive that's going to happen in Idlib. Quickly, why Idlib, and what this offensive is going to entail, if you have information on that?
Yes, this will be a major offensive. Why Idlib? It's because it's the last stronghold for the terrorists of the al-Nusra Front across Syria. Idlib is the largest area that terrorists control currently over there, and this is why the Syrian army now is planning to head over there and start a major offensive to eliminate the terrorists of the al-Nusra Front, which is leading a terrorist alliance called Hayat Tahrir al-Sham. All signs lead to the fact that the offensive will be happening soon, will be starting soon, because the Syrian army troops were seen on international highways moving from the south, where the last and recent military operations were happening south of Syria, towards the north in the northern countryside of Hama, and also on the outskirts of Idlib province itself, which is mostly occupied by the al-Nusra Front. Tanks, armored vehicles, heavy machine guns, and troops were seen on those international highways heading towards that part of Syria in preparation for starting that military operation. Also, one of the signs leading to the fact that there will be a major offensive is that also the Russian Navy dispatched the largest task force to the Mediterranean Sea since the start of its aerial operations against terrorism in 2015. This task force includes 10 ships carrying caliber cruise missiles, and there are many more other ships on the way. So a lot of signs leading to the fact that the army is heading over there. And also, just 2 to 3 days ago, the Syrian Minister of Defense, Ali Ayyub, in a joint press conference with his Iranian counterpart, confirmed that the Syrian army is determined to liberate every inch of Syrian soil, and he noted directly to Idlib, saying that the fate of terrorists in Idlib will not be any different from the fate of terrorists in other parts of Syria that were secured.
Thank you very much for that. That's our correspondent Mohammed Ali there from Damascus. Okay, let's get some analysis into the picture. Our guest joining us is publisher and editor at Politics First, Marcus Papadopoulos, who joins us, and also we have President of the American Institute for Foreign Policy, Michael Lane, joining us from North Carolina. Gentlemen, welcome. Michael Lane, did you hear our correspondence? This seems to be an operation the Syrian army is going to be involved in, with Russia backing it in a major way, it appears. It hasn't happened yet, but you know, we're speculating that they're going to be supporting the Syrian army to root out terrorists. Why is the U.S. Kind of picturing this in another way? Or should I say the media is picturing this another way?
Well, yes, it does look like we're going to have a battle for Idlib very soon. The Russians are certainly moving their assets into the theater to make sure that they can provide the maximum amount of support for the Syrian forces. And the Syrian forces, as we heard in your introductory piece, are moving themselves into positions. So that the battle can take place. I think the reason that there is concern around the world is because, as these things have happened in the past, Ghouta, Douma, places like that, there have been excessive civilian casualties and allegations over the use of chemical weapons. And the U.S. has expressed its concern very directly and very forcefully that as this battle unfolds, they really want President Assad not to deploy and use in the battle for Idlib, and they also want him to take as much care as he can to reduce civilian casualties. Now, I'm not naive. I know that anytime you have urban warfare, you are going to have unintended civilian casualties. That's just part of the nature of urban warfare. Yet, nonetheless, since almost all of Syria, or at least all the strategic points and all the large strongholds of the rebels have been captured, this is the last one. There is no particular urgency on this, and President Assad and his Russian allies do have the luxury of taking their time in prosecuting this battle and prosecuting it in such a way that will reduce as much as is possible civilian casualties. I think that's what the world's looking at.
Marcus Papadopoulos, I'm going to ask you a question. It's not a trick question. If there was going to be a chemical attack, would it be executed by A, the Syrian army, B, Russia, C, the so-called rebels or terrorists on the ground, or D, the U.S.?
Well, my answer to your question is categorically this. If chemical weapons are to be used in Idlib, then they will be used by the terrorists, and I suspect that the chemical weapons will have been supplied to the terrorists by Turkey. The Syrian government, Syria, does not have chemical weapons. That was confirmed by United Nations chemical weapons inspectors at the beginning of 2014. Furthermore, the war in Syria is now coming to an end. The only place in Syria where the terrorists are in control of the land is, of course, in Idlib. The Syrian military, backed by the Russians principally, but also the Iranians, will use conventional means to liberate Idlib. So it would not be in the interests at all for the Syrian government, even if they did have chemical weapons, which they don't, but even if they did have chemical weapons, to use them in Idlib when they have overwhelming might in conventional forces. And secondly, by using chemical weapons in Idlib, that would only give a pretext to the Americans to once again directly, militarily intervene in Syria. But let me say this as well. The campaign to liberate Idlib will be the final battle of the war in Syria, a war which has been waged against the Syrian people by America and its ghastly regional allies. This campaign, which the Americans and the Turks and the Saudis and the Qataris have waged against the Syrian people, has been a psychopathic one, which has radiated some of the most unspeakable depravities that the history of warfare has ever known. Mm-hmm. The Syrian people have stood firm and have prevailed. And it was only a short while ago that I was speaking with a Syrian official who told me that the campaign to liberate Idlib could commence in the next few days.
Well, Michael Lane, your reaction, and then basically whether you agree with the fact that it is going to be the terrorists on the ground, of which, of course, they're also called rebels, that are going to be the ones executing a chemical attack. Do you believe that premise? And do you also believe there will be one, and that's imminent?
I do believe the attack is imminent. I do believe that what Marcus said, that he has information it will begin within the next couple days, is probably accurate. There's just too much activity that's coordinated at this time to think that it's going to be a lengthy period of time before this campaign commences. But as far as the use of chemical weapons is concerned, let me say, I don't see any real evidence out there that Turkey would want to supply the rebel forces in Idlib with chemical weapons. The accusations in the past have been that Assad has used them. The accusations in the past are that they have come in the form of barrel bombs and other things. The locations that they've used them, among others, are East Ghouta and Douma. And I think that the world is concerned that that President Assad, in an effort to speed this up and put the pressure on the rebels to surrender more quickly or engage in talks more seriously, he will be tempted to use the chemical weapons again. Yes, there was an effort to get him to give up his chemical weapons. I don't think many people think that he gave up. In fact, there was a United States airstrike or missile strike against the airbase where he was launched the chemical weapons from last April or May, I believe it was. So no, I don't think the rebels are the ones who are going to use chemical weapons. I don't know where they'd get access to it. I really don't think Turkey would be their supplier. I hope, and the world hopes, that Mr. Assad realizes that he doesn't have to use the chemical weapons, that he is going to win this campaign, and that he can do it without the use of chemical weapons.
Let's go on this scenario, hypothetically speaking, Marcus Papadopoulos, that there is going to be an attack that you said is going to take place in a couple of days, and that the Syrian army, backed by Russia, is progressing and is getting rid of the terrorists. What do you think the possibilities are for the U.S. to actually react? Take away the chemical weapons scenario.
Well, I believe the Americans know that their objective in Syria, namely to overthrow the Syrian government, has failed and has failed abysmally. So now they're looking to the northwest of Syria to retain some sort of influence in the country. And of course, their influence in the northwest is through the terrorists. Now, some people might say, yes, but in the northeast, the Americans have influence there through the Kurds. Well, that is true, but the Americans are acutely aware that the Kurds and Damascus are on the verge of coming to an agreement whereby the Kurds in Syria will have some degree of autonomy, and in return, the Syrian army will enter the northeast of the country, and the Syrian army will patrol the border there with Turkey, and the Syrian flag will fly on the border with Turkey. So I think the Americans know that their chances of retaining their illegal military presence in the northeast of Syria is coming to an end. So the Americans are really looking to maintain a presence in the northwest. Now, the gentleman in America raised a legitimate question. Why would the Turks give chemical weapons to the terrorists in Idlib? Well, Turkey is trying to partition the northwest of Syria. And the Americans are hoping that the Turks will be successful. Now, if the Turks do give chemical weapons to the terrorists in Syria, and if they do deploy them and then blame them on the Syrian government, then the Americans have a pretext, along with their allies, the British and the French, to strike against the Syrian military and potentially speaking, launch more than just one strike. And that would be aimed to prevent the Syrian military from coming in Idlib. Now, I believe that's the theory. The reality, however, is that I think the Americans know that they're not even going to successfully be able to make Plan B materialize, but they have to be seen as doing something. They have to try and preserve some sort of influence in Idlib, but ultimately in the corridors of power in Washington, they know that their game is up in Syria, that their extraordinary, barbarous war against the Syrian people has been defeated.
Okay, so in a sense, I'm going to go back to square one. I should have asked this question maybe a little bit earlier, Michael Lane. Can you please tell us then what the U.S. is doing, beefing up its military in the form and manner that it has been reported for this operation that hasn't taken place, but will most definitely take place in the next couple of days?
Well, I don't know that the U.S. is beefing up its abilities more so than it already had. Remember, we've always had a fairly substantial offshore commitment. Our Navy in the area is fairly ubiquitous, and it's an attempt to, of course, preserve sea lanes and to also project forward power on those circumstances under which it's necessary. It's really the Russian up their military. As Marcus mentioned, there are 12 Russian warships right now, 10 surface ships and 2 submarines that are en route to the Eastern Mediterranean, and they all have cruise missile capability. Now, I'm not going to speak for the Russian government, but presumably they are there to support whatever ground operations will be taking place in Idlib over the next week. So the buildup is coming from, to the extent the Americans are positioning themselves in a better position and more immediate position in the Eastern Mediterranean, I believe is because of the concern over whether or not Assad will deploy chemical weapons, and they want to be able to respond very forcefully and very immediately if they think he does.
Well, Marcus Papadopoulos, if we take a look at the situation on the ground, by some reports, it indicates that 70% of these terrorists are located in this province. I think there was an exact number that came out that more than, this is Russia saying, more than 70% of the territory of Idlib is now controlled by the terrorist groups. So the biggest of them being Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, formerly known as the Jabhat al-Nusra. I'm almost assuming that once this operation takes place, it's going to be extremely difficult for civilian casualties not to occur. Our guest there, Michael Lane, indicated that as such. Do you think that that may give the U.S. a pretext once civilian casualties mount for them to counter-react?
Well, Michael is absolutely correct. In any war, no matter how precise the weapons used are, no matter how careful the planning of the offensive is, regrettably, there are always going to be civilian casualties. That is why war, all war, is absolutely monstrous. But Michael also made another very legitimate point, that the Syrian military, backed by the Russians, will not rush this offensive. There is no need to rush this offensive. They will move forward step by step at a very steady pace. There is no need to prosecute this offensive, which will be the last one of the Syrian war, in a hurried manner. But of course, there will be civilian casualties, and that is extremely, extremely sad, because the civilians in Idlib are yearning for liberation. But the Americans, of course, will blame the Syrian military for all civilian casualties incurred. They will blame the Russians, indeed, for all civilian militaries incurred. That could also present the Americans as a pretext for them to intervene. But I'm not so sure they would intervene on the basis of civilian casualties. Uh-huh. If there is going to be some sort of intervention, I suspect it would be on the allegation that chemical weapons have been used. But let me just say again, people watching this discussion don't have to take my word for it. At the beginning of 2014, United Nations chemical weapons inspectors confirmed, after having toured Syria, or the government-controlled parts of Syria, that there were no chemical weapons there. We should not be disbelieving what United Nations chemical weapons inspectors conclude. The chemical weapons inspectors who reported that Iraq did not have weapons of mass destruction were not believed. They were sidelined. Well, they were proved to be correct, and they are proved to be correct again today. The Syrian government, Syria, does not have chemical weapons. However, in Idlib, no one knows what the terrorists have there. And I might also add this as well. It is believed there are 100,000 terrorists based in Idlib. A really good question is this. What's going to happen to all of those terrorists? Some of them will die in battle. Others will retreat into Turkey. Where do they go from there? Well, I can also say this. Some high-ranking officials have told me that the Americans, the Turks, and the Saudis are getting ready to redeploy terrorists to Central Asia and also to the Western Muslim province in China, the Xinjiang province.
Well, I'm looking for the information, Michael Lane, that has come through. And this, again, came from Russian intelligence about the chlorine stockpile that is now... Again, Russian intelligence saying this, that is carried by these terrorists. And I'm going to come to that in a minute. But my question to you, Michael Lane, right now would be, if you were to examine the Russian hardware in this, and in particular the warships that are being, deployed in Syria, up to 13 of these warships to have crossed the Bosphorus towards Syria so far this week, Russian warships. What kind of analysis do you draw from that in terms of how Russia is going to be involved in this offensive?
In the past, they have provided significant amount. In fact, they've provided the decisive amount of air cover and air power for Syrian forces as they have gone from sector to sector and liberated from the rebels that part of the country that President Assad is trying to recapture. So I would anticipate that the Russians would do the same thing in any campaign for Idlib. But they have the added advantage now of, since it is in the northwest part of the country, they have it's within missile range. And so by providing this flotilla that specializes in launching or carrying and launching cruise missiles, they can be much, much more effective in terms of assisting the Syrian troops on the ground without risking having as many flights as they would otherwise need to have flying around the theater. So it's militarily, they have very accurate weapons that they can launch from sea-based platforms to the benefit of the Syrian military on the ground. It's a win-win for both Russia and for the Syrians.
And finally, a question goes to you, Marcus Papadopoulos. What are the chances of the U.S. and Russia, through whatever developments unfold, that they may get entangled in this war and face a direct confrontation against each other?
I'm not one for sensationalism. The Americans and the Russians, when it comes to preventing an outbreak of hostilities between themselves, are very, very shrewd. They're very experienced. They have an old hand at this sort of matter. There will be no military confrontation between America and Russia. Ever since the Cuban Missile Crisis, there has been a direct line between the White House and the Kremlin and vice versa, where they can speak about contentious issues around the world to prevent a military confrontation between themselves. So there will not be a war between America and Russia, that is for sure.
Thank you very much, publisher and editor at Politics First, Marcus Papadopoulos, and thank you, President of the American Institute for Foreign Policy, Michael Lane. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Vitalkway, entire team, it's goodbye until the next debate.